Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, everybody? You know what it is. It is the Affair After Show tonight. We have Helen and Tierra get a little closer at Joshua Tree. Janelle and Noah get a little closer at Noah's house. And we have a surprise reunion between two old friends. Let's go. Let's get it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, new intro. Where's our beatbox at, Lim? Let's see. I feel like we're in some like little nasty discotheque, like. You know those little.
It looks like we're at that party. I feel like.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. We're in Joshua Tree right now.
Joshua Tree right now, with the youngins and the little hippies with our little. What were they wearing? You know what that
dresses.
Was?
Dresses.
Okay, there we go. I want to know what Helen
very
like that
fashion
actually.
Forward.
Yes, exactly. What's up, everybody? You know what it is. The Affair is happening. I'm your host, Lim Gonzalez, and with me is OG Knight.
So
I got my OG. She's been with me since day one. We've been holding it down since season one. April Wizard Hat.
Hey, everybody. A1 since day one. Yeah. What's up?
Yes. So you got us two tonight, and we're going to break it all the way down, you know, because it needs to be broken. That's how we're doing it. And
I have the chat up. Let us know what y'all thought, because we have some crazy stuff to talk about. And
yes.
Lots of new experiences for our lovely Helen.
Yes, lots of new
maybe not her first experience, but
no. But it's some interesting dichotomies that happen in this episode.
Yeah,
definitely. So speaking of Helen, let's go there. So we of course the episode is broken down within Helen and Noah's perspectives.
Yeah,
and so we start with Helen and we see her. She's home taking a home pregnancy test.
Right.
She finds out she's not pregnant and. She goes to talk to Vic.
Quite
and,
the opposite.
You know, right, right. Goes to talk to Vic, like, hey, you know, like, kind of, I think, to just kind of say she's trying.
Right.
Right? Because we saw previously, we found out she wasn't doing what she was supposed to be doing with the you know,
the shots
exactly, the shots to make sure that she can get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so she's sounds like she's trying, you know, extending that little olive branch, like, hey, I took it, I'm not pregnant, but, you know, I am trying. And he's like, hey. Guess what? I know why you're not pregnant, because you're going through menopause.
He's so hard, and yes. I just can't understand it. You know, obviously I haven't been, or thankfully I should say, haven't been faced with the possibility of my imminent death. But so who knows how I would act, obviously. But all I can think is, honey, you just slept with your neighbor.
Yes.
You just cheated on her. So maybe try not to be such a douchebag when she tells you that she might potentially birth your offspring.
Exactly.
In order to make you happy. He was just so like, obviously, you were listened at the doctor's appointment, right? And of course she did. And, you know, she made the mistake that we were all very hard on her for, of course. But it's also like, okay, give her, you just cheated. Maybe you shouldn't, you know, throw rocks in glass houses, basically. He was just a little bit too douchebaggy in that moment for me.
He was. And also, we've seen this with him because I think he kind of does hide behind the fact that he is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very matter of fact sometimes with his responses. And that was a very doctoral response. Like, medically speaking, you're going through menopause.
Yeah.
And therefore, you're not going to be pregnant. And she kind of seems hopeful. It's like, well, you never know type thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's constantly having this battle between wanting to please him by having his child, but also not wanting to have any more kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see later, which we'll get into when she's earned the circle with the other women, and she kind of, you know, chimes in about being pregnant and kind of the things she's saying, where she's kind of reflecting on her own life.
Right.
And what she's done with her having four kids. Did she have them for her? Did she have them with her ex-husband, Noah?
Right.
Like, what's going on? So,
well, I hope she had them for her a little bit, you know? I mean, they are her children. And, you know, granted, she did say multiple times, I don't know if I had them. You know, did I want them at the time? Even like a lot of parents will say, you know, unless you're, you know, really planning, when you have surprise children, it's never like the perfect time for something. But it's just like Helen explained, you know, your heart expands. You just create room. It doesn't like kind of dumb it down for you. But also, you know, once to go off that to when once you have kids and then once you're a certain age and then once you are at the point of, okay, so let me get my whole thing back and I, you know, raise them and I want to be able to create a new life in the second half, let's say. But he's not really feeling that. But I don't know. That's why I'm like, when did she have such a change of heart?
Well, that's where that's why I was bringing up that I feel like she just goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how she's feeling at the moment. You know, mm-hmm. one moment she wants to, and next moment she doesn't, and mm-hmm. one moment she does. And so it's just kind of going back and forth because I think ultimately she does care about Vic very much. I'll even go as far to say that she does love him.
Yeah.
And I think she does want him to be happy. And we saw that scene at the very end of her perspective that was very powerful mm-hmm. As far as her running back to him. And, you know, so I think she just goes back and forth with it. She can be very indecisive. I think that's a good word for Helen about her feelings and kind of her actions. And she kind of goes with the wind sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she's very stringent.
Right.
So a lot of it has to do with how she was raised. And, you know, there's just a lot with Helen. I think she's a more complicated character than we give her credit for.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely is. This week especially, we kind of I like Helen.
Oh,
that's what I was pointing. I was like, I like Helen in the sense of, you know, we really do give Helen a tough time. And so do the viewers. So does everyone typically in our chat. So does everyone in the comments and everything. Whenever I'm reading through everything, everyone typically feels the same way that we do about Helen. But it's like we forget the things that she's been through. She came from this. It's just like it's almost like what Sierra was telling her. She's like, you have, on the way to Joshua Tree, she's like, you have the perfect life. I wish I had your life. You know, you have all these people that need you and yada, yada, yada. And I just kept thinking, I'm like, oh my God, you don't want this woman's life. You know, she had this crazy marriage and went through all this stuff. And now she's realizing only later in life, maybe she did a lot of things
yes.
just because of, you know, a certain person or that someone wanted it. So I think, you know, we ultimately came to the realization of, I think the baby, I hope she's going to say, is like out of sorts. But also she did start doing stuff that she wanted to do. And that came in the form of Sierra.
Oh, Sierra. Speaking of Sierra, Miss
oh.
Sierra was very prevalent in this episode. We've seen glimpses of her, right? And we saw probably the biggest portion up to this point was when she was with Vic.
Yeah.
And they had their time together, ended up sleeping together and all of that. But we do see her with Helen. And right after the situation with Vic, she starts talking to her. And, you know, they're talking about this Joshua Tree situation. And mm-hmm. the first Helen's like, no. Because when it was brought up before, she was like, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's having more of a change of heart because she's, you know, feeling some kind of way.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know what? I want to go. And so she's like, all right, let's go, girl.
Well, she's pissed because Vic is already being a jerk in the morning mm-hmm. and then sends her this text. Hey, I'm not going to be home tonight. Also, you forgot to sign Stacy's paper, basically saying you are whatever. Also, I forget what else it said. So it's just like, you know, one thing after the other. So she mm-hmm. decided she wanted to get away a little bit. Now, granted, she decided to get away in a certain way that is very, it's essentially the antithesis of Helen. And Sierra kind of calls her on that. She's like, you're basically just an East Coast snob and you think mm-hmm. this, which she is. She clearly hates California. But I have to let all of y'all out there know that aren't from California or don't live here or have never been here. we're not all like that. Not everyone has a guru or goes to moon circles.
Right.
So that's the show. And, you know, obviously it's a television show, so they kind of do, they're doing this stereotypical sure. thing for a reason. But I just want y'all to know that we do not all go to moon. Not to say not everyone does. And it did look kind of fun, so I'm not knocking it.
Right.
But also that little pod thing, I was like, I would have had the same reaction. I would totally trip balls.
That was crazy.
But, anyway, the interaction between, you know, Sierra is, it's almost like, and I'm reaching a little bit, but it's almost like, ooh, keep, you know, the ones close mm-hmm. that you need information from or whatever. But she did seem genuinely interested in her. But it, I just can't believe she had the conversation of, oh, yeah, I slept with a married man. And it's weird that she's saying he's married unless she's talking about someone else.
I wanted to talk about
that. Because they're not
married. Yeah, I wanted to bring that because there was two times where I feel like, and we kind of spoke on it briefly. So obviously on the way to Joshua Tree, Sierra does mention to Helen that she feels some kind of way because she slept with a married man mm-hmm. and this man has children and she feels, you know, really bad about it. And it's kind of a cycle of hers that she's kind of going through. And so, obviously, as viewers, you're thinking that, okay, she's admitting to sleeping with Vic.
Right.
To Helen by not, of course, not admitting that it's him. But she does say that it's a married man. And we know that Helen and Vic are not married.
Mm-hmm.
But also, further on in the episode, Helen, when she's talking about having her kids, she mentions Noah and she says, well, who's Noah? She's like, oh, that's my first husband.
Maybe with the intention of like, oh, Vic and I are very serious, or I understand what you're saying, but maybe in the sense of like, I could be married again. So
right. But I mean, I think it's just interesting and I think it's just worth pointing out, and it may be something to the viewers.
Yeah.
Pull it to them to see what they think about it, because, you know, those two things, I feel like the writing in this show is very intentional.
Yeah.
And I feel like that nothing happens, you know, for happenstance.
That's true.
So I'm kind of posing it to the viewers as to what they think it's like, or what they mean by that. Because, again, we know that they're not married, but there's two instances where it alludes that they would be.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was interesting.
I think it's one of those things that, you know, I have to say this because I'm just laughing. Emily Bates in the chat says it's the worst episode of the season.
Really?
And that, honestly, just reading that comment made me actually think. And I was like, this episode did move the story forward in certain ways, but it also just gave us some stuff that we didn't really need to know. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But it is a television show and it has to do that. I don't think it's the worst. But it is one of those that's kind of tougher because it's giving us the random stories. And I think that that's always been a thing that, just as a viewer of the show, we've always been like, do we need the random stories? But,
right.
You know, you do have to give a background and the characters have to have other experiences
sure.
in some way. Like, we now know, even though it's, you know, it hurts me to my core, that, you know, it's not going to be just the Noah, Allison, Helen, Cole show. It's not just going to be them. Now, granted, I kind of liked the idea of, you know, what ended up happening. I didn't like the idea. Let me rephrase that. I liked the story idea of how they're doing this whole Sierra slept with Vic. And then now, mm-hmm. you know, let's just shebang it.
Right.
She sleeps with Helen.
Right.
And how that's kind of going to go down, because now it's not just, you know, Helen being cheated on, it's also Helen cheating. And clearly you kind of see that that made her come to some sort of realization when she is in the little, what do they call it?
The deprivation chamber.
Yeah, that also just sounds terrible.
Yeah, it does.
You should have called it like a calming pod, like, you know, release your senses, whatever. But, and sometimes it takes that. Sometimes it takes, mm-hmm. you know, kissing someone else or whatever to realize that you are with the person that you really want to be with. But I think it's going to be interesting because everything comes out on the show when sure. it all goes down about, oh, you slept with her? Oh, I slept with her too. Mm-hmm. Do those cancel each other out? I don't really know. What do you think?
Well, I think it's very interesting. And again, I think it's very intentional that this character, and when she was first introduced, Sierra I'm referring to, I was like, okay, She's not just going to be this, you know, neighbor person that's kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, my trash cans. I felt like she was going to have a greater purpose, right?
Yeah.
And so her purpose kind of came to head, in my opinion, in this particular episode. Did they, you know, spend a lot of time with, you know, her and Helen? Sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could have spent less time, but because that Helen and I think it was important to show Helen and Vic both having some type of relationship with her, mm-hmm. her being the binding agent, because what it ended up doing that we saw at the end of the episode is it brought them closer.
Yeah.
Because Vic and Helen basically were not seeing eye to eye for a while now. I mean, when he was diagnosed, the fact that, remember, she told his parents
yeah.
against her wishes, his wishes, excuse me. And then, you know, basically everything kind of leading up to that, how he's been acting, the fact that he did end up sleeping with Sierra,
right.
Which was kind of against her. You know, all of these things happening, they were not together on one accord. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like, as cliche as it sounds, but it was almost like Sierra brought them together, you know.
I mean, in some that's sort exactly of way. What she did. And a lot of people end up saying that, you know, let's say, or, you know, you hear many stories about people that are married or, you know, very seriously dating, like Helen and Vic, mm-hmm. and they go through a cheating scandal. And sometimes it does end up bringing people together because you have to, you know, that's the worst way you could possibly sure. ever do that. Because
not ideal.
Nine times out of ten, it's going to do what it did to Helen and Noah.
Right.
But, you know, Helen and Vic are going through some crazy, extreme situations in their lives mm-hmm. right now that are, you know, can be potentially detrimental, like literally life and death at this point.
Sure.
So I think they almost like needed a kick in the pants in the form of Sierra to be able to either, it's like, okay, you're either going to move on mm-hmm. or let's
or
figure this out.
Apart or
let's
whatever.
Let's have the, you know, are we going to be able, which not that Helen would ever leave him, you know, when he's dying of pancreatic cancer.
Right.
But it's also like, okay, we either have to be together. Are we going to get through this? What's happening? Whatever. Or be apart. And I mean, it finally, to me anyway, gave us what we've been waiting for in the form of Vic being like, I'll fight. I won't die. I promise. Right. Obviously, we know that's, you know, a promise that he can't keep. But just in that moment, I literally was sitting there thinking whenever she's like hugging him, they're kissing and whatever. And she's like, please don't die. He was like, I won't. I promise. I was like, please say that. I didn't want him to be like, oh, well, I can't help. I was like, yes, just that's exactly what you needed to say.
Well, what it did was, to me, it humanized Vic because yeah. Vic, again, he's always, because he's a doctor, and whenever anything medically speaking came up, he would always give the literal answer mm-hmm. because he's a doctor. And, you know, for those of you that are in that type of field, you have to deal with that every day. You have right. to tell these people flat out what is the issue.
Right.
And not to say you can't have empathy. But I think Vic is, especially in his situation, being that he is dying, it's like, okay, there's no really empathy anymore. I'm just going to give it to you straight.
Right.
This is what it
you
is.
You are going through menopause.
Exactly.
It's, you know, not right. an easy, I don't care what age you are, what sure. anything, it's not an easy thing for someone to hear. It's, mm-hmm. you know, the same thing, men go through the same thing, except different from menopause. That's never going to be great or super easy for a woman to be like, oh, well, you have this. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
But I do understand that that is what he's supposed to do in his job. But there has to be this separation from, you know, being straight up with your patients. And, you know, you can be that way to a certain extent at home, but also being a human and being
right.
and having those emotions, which I feel is just like what we got through. Because in order, you know, he saw her so upset. I don't know what actually freaked her out other than just the thought of like not being able to get out. Oh my gosh, what's happening? Whatever. When she was in the pod, but mm-hmm. to see her so upset and for her to finally be like, I don't want you to die, because I don't think she actually has said that. She's just been like, okay, let's fight. Let's this.
Well, she,
and sometimes
no,
to make
she,
plans can be overwhelming.
She has said that. She said that before. Not in that to the degree that she did.
Yeah.
But she has said, because remember, if you think about when they were having the conversation in the car, when he was upset that she told her parents,
yeah.
That she told his parents, I keep saying that. She told mm-hmm. his parents, she said, I don't want you to, I remember her saying specifically, I don't want you to die. She's
oh,
like,
okay.
Well, Helen, this is matter. This is what's going to happen.
Right.
I'm sorry. I have stage 4 pancreatic cancer. I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that can happen and there's nothing anyone can do about it. But I think what this showed here, the emotion behind it, the the fact that, like I said, they were not seeing eye to eye. She leaves. She goes through this, you know, situation, kind of epiphany. You know, it's kind of a roller coaster of emotions with dealing with my favorite character, Gael.
Gael.
Dealing with Gael this episode and the whole women's circle and kind of chiming in about having
moon circle.
Well, no, when they were having dinner. Sorry.
The moon circle
was first. The moon circle, she wasn't into the moon circle.
No.
We know Sierra was.
Because she got a makeout. If I got a makeout, I'd go to a moon circle too.
Hey. but when they were having dinner, initially she was just kind of still being on the outsider, kind of looking in.
Right.
But then when a question was posed that really Gael could not answer, mm-hmm. she chimed in. And then all of a sudden, all the women like started asking her and directing everything to her. And she was giving them good information. So I think that was one part when she was talking to Sierra after the fact, when they became intimate. I think that was also a part in that conversation and in the form of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And then I think the sensory deprivation chamber that she was in, I think that was the icing on the cake, the fact that she felt trapped.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was a metaphor for a lot of things, but but one of the things of being inside of there, now she's kind of feeling everything all at once. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a claustrophobic type feeling because she has this thing above her,
right,
and she can't get out and wants to get out. And then finally, when she does get out, all she can think about is running home to Vic,
right,
and telling her how she feels.
You know what made me actually like this episode, mm-hmm. is because we have knocked on Helen for how long about still being in love with Noah. We're like, girl, get over it. Girl, you love him. Blah, 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 whatever. But tonight, and it's like they're doing this to me in the past few episodes. Mm-hmm. Tonight, I was like, she's over it. Yeah. She wants Vic. And a lot, you know, someone dying can do that to a person, which is terrible that that's how our brains work as human beings, but I guess also we can't help it. But in that moment where she went to him and, you know, clearly was going through a lot of mental, let's say, realizations, mm-hmm. For lack of a better word. But I think that it truly, in that moment, like, she looked like, I love you.
Yes.
Noah was not on the brain.
Sure.
At all, whatsoever. So to me, I'm like, oh, you got there. You're there. I'm so happy. Thank God, Helen, you are there. Finally. Season 4, episode 7, right. You're there. Ooh,
finally. There it is.
Yeah.
I have a question for you and for the viewers and people on the live chat.
Yeah.
Do you think, being that now we've seen, again, the binding agent known as Sierra, do you think that it's going to come out that they basically, essentially both had a situation with her or had a relationship with her? Do you think that that's going to come out between them two?
Yes, I definitely think it does.
Yes,
because that's what I was saying earlier. Everything comes out in this show.
Okay.
I don't know if it'll necessarily happen in this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably will. It could be, you know, some sort of cliffhanger. But, you know, to play devil's advocate against myself, it also could be like, you know, a thing that he... Oh, I'm about to get real morbid. Takes to the grave. Because we don't know, you know, it seems like they're leading us to think that he's going to be getting treatment by the conversation that they had. Mm. Like, maybe that's what he'll do in order to not die or to keep his promise. But yeah, it's just like WeezyD313 in the chat says, I thought Sierra almost spilled tonight. Maybe if Vic doesn't tell Helen and Helen doesn't tell Vic, mm-hmm. it does seem like Sierra could potentially spill all of those beans. Mm. She's the binding agent, but she could also be the agent that kind of rips it apart as well. She also could be expecting anytime soon. So, you know, that could be the agent that rips it all apart.
Interesting.
What do you think? You think it's going to come out?
I think that it makes sense to come out, being that she is so close to them. She's their neighbor. It's not like she's some woman that's far off or
literally
whatever.
Literally and
like,
figuratively.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I think because she's there, obviously her character was introduced to, you know, for them to have this pinnacle happen. But I think that it would be important for the story, for Ert to come out and mm-hmm. kind of see how that goes and plays out into future. But I could see the writers not doing that.
Yeah.
I could see them, because of it coming, bringing them to a good place, that it is still remaining hush. And then they continue on with their lives.
After that.
After that.
I mean,
so I could see it going both ways.
That kind of makes sense. It would suck for Helen to be devastated again by another man cheating on her, right. Even though I don't think it. I think it's very, very different, obviously, than the first case. I loved the moment of the episode where she was talking to Sierra and she said, like, let me give you some advice. Mm-hmm. Stop messing around with the married men, because you're not just affecting them. You're affecting this person and this person and this person. And guess what? It's affecting you. Mm-hmm. And I thought that, I mean, Sierra had the best reaction. She's like, well, but I mean, it was so true. And even in that moment, it seemed like the fact that she was able to talk about it or to give advice about it in such a real way, it's like she's come to this moment to where it's, I don't know, we're seeing Helen grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
But so it's like, I don't want her character even, because I care about her as a character, even though I give her so much crap, but I don't want her character to be devastated again.
Yes.
You know?
I agree.
Also, I do have to say, when she was in that pod deprivation chamber thing, whatever you want to call it, the cinematography and the lighting and everything was amazing. Also, Maura Tierney is hot.
Yeah, she is. She's a beautiful woman. I've always thought she was beautiful. Yeah, she's bad. Before we get into to Noah's portion, I do want to talk about why we're here and let you know what else is going on here at AfterBuzz. So AfterBuzzers, our network, produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans like you. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And so by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And we want to grow. We want to get bigger and better. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, you know what? Don't worry about that. That's optional. So want to make sure you hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know that you did so in the comments and we will thank you on air. So those of you in our live chat, you want to do that in the comments that you subscribe. We will shout you out on air full show. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk. Boom. There
it
is. Yes. So moving right along, let's get into Mr. Noah's portion.
Yes.
Which was interesting as well. And I love the ending because I was waiting. I was like, when are we going to get to? They've been, you know, giving us these teasers. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Noah and Cole and Anton in this car looking for Allison and little tidbits here and there. And then they stopped.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, now what? And so now we kind of see that kind of come together. So, but it does start. And I will say this, I'm getting tired of Trevor. I'm getting tired of little Trevor and his little attitude. I'm really out.
People are going to kill us for saying that, but I'm over Trevor.
No, I don't care. I mean because
he is like a 13.
Right. But it's just like he's given
16.
He's given Noah so much flack and he's like not being respectful to him. And yes, did Noah mess up? Absolutely. Multiple times. He's not, you know, going to win Dad of the Year.
No.
But I feel like because, number one, he moved to L.A. to be closer to his family. Mm-hmm. That is true. That is fact. We know that. He also is making a concerted effort to be with his kids and to spend time with his kids. I feel like, you know, Trevor, for instance, because the other two are not there.
Right.
Trevor is really like, you know, busting him up.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, dude, like, give him a break. And we see him taking these, you know, taking them driving lessons. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, what's your first time? Well, you know, mom lets me pull out the car. Dude, you're not driving. You're just putting it in reverse.
Exactly.
Like, stop it. But it's like he's going out of his way. Like we saw when he refused to go to the concert with them after he spent money on tickets. Mm-hmm. We see every single time he interacts with Noah, it's always negative. He's always putting Noah down. And I'm like, yo, you need to stop.
Well, I think that, you know, Noah lost every, I don't know. I don't know how to say it, but he lost the chance to be able to be like, no, don't do this at first. That I totally understand that. Like, if that happened, if I was Trevor, especially him being so young, but also, like, old enough to really know what was going on at the time, you know, a child is going to react in their own way to that, you know, and it's not just going to be a couple years and, oh, I forget all of this stuff that happened. But you would think he's it's like he should give him more credit in the sense of, okay, but now I see that you've righted these wrongs and you moved to California to be with me, so let me show you a little more respect now. I understand that that takes time to get there,
right?
But also he can see that Noah is making a real effort. So it's annoying to me that he's not. And I guess maybe we both might come from families where that would have not been an option. For me not to respect my mother and father. That was not an option for me.
Yes.
Which is funny when Anton, my mom wouldn't actually say this, and she's probably going to be watching this tomorrow. So I'm sorry, Mom, I love you so much. But when Anton's dad, when Carl said to Anton later, he's like, you want to live? I'm like, oh my God, that's something my mom would say to me if I like said something disrespectful.
For real.
But so I'm like, I fully understand. Even when Noah started to ask him, like, hey, if there's anything about your friend, I'm like, oh, just let him say it. Let him say it. Mm-hmm. But then maybe he wanted him to have the opportunity to say it. Maybe he wanted to say, but I, you know, it's never going to be a completely comfortable thing. I guess it should be, but I also understand why it's not, just because of him wanting to say something when he wants to say something, but, if that's, if that be the case.
But the problem is that I see is that we see that Trevor's not going to give him a chance because Trevor doesn't really care for him right now.
Right.
So something like that, that is private, he doesn't want to share with him. And when Noah asks, it's almost like, well, you're invading my privacy. I don't want you to know that. I'm going to, you know, I don't want to talk about that. And it's like, dude, it's like he doesn't realize that his dad is really trying to get to know him, to be with him. Remember, he spent time in jail. Like,
well, but he doesn't. He knows he spent time in jail. Right, but that's also a thing. Trevor doesn't know the reason why he spent time in jail. Trevor knows my dad was in jail, so I'd be pissed too.
But he knows he was gone. And the thing is, he's trying to make up for lost time, of course, because these are, you know, a really important years, and especially a teenager where he's at the age he's in. And it's just like he's not giving him. And I really appreciated what Noah said to Helen, you know, when he came home to Helen and said, look, you need to tell them, like, these are our kids. Yeah. You need to let them know I'm trying. You need to let them know to give me a chance. You need to do that because Helen is not. Right. Up to this point, she's not. She's not allowing him. She's, like he said, he's crossing over on his time. Mm-hmm. She's not pushing the kids to spend time with their dad.
Right.
And so she has to do her part in order, because if she doesn't, the kids are never going to respect him.
Yeah, well, they already don't. So.
Well, I'm just saying it's never going to get to the point where they do.
Yeah,
and true. So I do like the fact that he talked to him and she bit it. And the one thing she said was obviously, and her response was good as well.
It really was, yeah.
You know, that Vic has cancer, so I'm sorry we're not at our best because we are dealing with that. And then Noah, and my question to you is, Noah says, like, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, well, why would I? But do you think he was, because I feel like my answer to it is that he was, but do you think that he was sincere when he was like, yo, why didn't you tell me?
I do, because it's the same thing as, you know, you have a friend who you haven't seen in a while, or you haven't talked to in a long time, or, you know, whatever. But at some point, you were really close in your life. Mm-hmm. And it seems like those major, major things you would know or you would want to know still. So I felt for him in that moment. But then I also understand where Helen comes from. It's also like, no, I don't need to tell you that.
Right.
I mean, like, why do you need to know that?
Right.
But, you know, so it's a double-sided coin, obviously. It just depends on where you land in that scenario. But I think he was sincere, and just like you said, her response was great. Like, and all, I mean, if there's ever an excuse to not be at your best, that's an excuse. By the way, Vic is dying, so if I'm, you know, not responding to texts like I should, this is why. So, you know, I liked that they had that little moment. And when she's like, "We're not friends. What are you talking about?" You're not friends.
That
Noah.
Part kind of did hurt. That stung a little. I felt that. She's like, "We're friends." No, we're not.
Well, because you got to think at the end of that last season, it was him looking at her in the house in New York, and things were like kind of peachy keen.
Right.
But obviously, they have not continued that way since the move to California. There's a lot of animosity there now. But no, they ain't friends.
No, they're not. They're not. But like I said, you can even help them out. Like, sure, we're friends. Like, give them the little eye roll. No, we're not.
Right.
We're not friends.
She was just straight up.
Like, exactly.
Maybe she's taking on Vic's cold demeanor.
Cold demeanor, maybe. We do see after that that he goes home, and then Anton is chilling in his house.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing?
Like, he's like, is it the hoodie? I'm like, no, right, it's not the hoodie. Right. You were just sitting in my house.
Yeah,
son.
Like, come on now. Yeah. So I want to say that I really like Noah and Anton together.
I do too.
I like that he's, and I think it's really interesting. It's almost like, and this is just my little personal little opinion, mm-hmm. But I feel like that because Noah has failed a lot with his own kids,
right,
especially the older ones, I feel like he's getting a second chance with Anton.
I think so too.
Because totally. We see, like, even when they go to the house and he's there to talk to Janelle because, you know, talking about going to Princeton, of mm-hmm. course, Anton wants to go in the military. And then, of course, Carl shows up and then Noah's in that weird, awkward place again.
Carl, like, too.
In the way I know you like Carl.
I don't, there's something about Carl because yeah. I like how he's like, take no prisoners.
Right.
No, you're not going to act this way. Right. Like, do you want to live?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So he's just in this awkward place, but it's almost like he's being this mentor to Anton. He yeah. understands Anton. Anton is reading his book. Mm-hmm. So he also favors Noah as well, especially because his dad is not being receptive to him.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like it's like the writers are making this happen because it does give Noah a shot. Because for the longest time, I'm like, Noah is bad. Like, yeah. Noah's not that dude.
Yeah.
I don't like Noah. Noah's a punk.
Yeah.
But now I feel like he's redeeming himself with him coming to California for his family, now taking Anton under his wing, mm-hmm. you know, kind of being there. I don't know how everybody feels, but I like him and Janelle. I know
I don't.
People make,
I really don't.
Why though?
They don't fit together.
Why?
A lot of people, and this is right. A lot of people in the chat and in our comments don't like them together because they see it as Noah, them, the writers or the show or whatever, portraying Noah as like the white hero, and here's this a black woman you know, going through all this stuff, and he just mm-hmm. kind of inserts himself and just kind of does whatever. I understand that and why, but I think I personally don't think that that's actually what it is,
what the intention is.
That's just, but that's just me anyway, obviously, right. I don't know what you think about it, but I just, they don't, first of all, they don't fit, and in that way it is a little like, you know, you almost see her. She's definitely not dumbing herself down for him. She's definitely mm-mm. not. Like, she's fully, you know, asserting her power. I sure. like tonight that she was just like, you know, I'm on probation. I have this meeting, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was it, because it didn't even give him the chance to kind of interfere with that whatsoever. But it's I just don't like it, I guess.
Okay.
Nothing that I said sure. says why I don't like it, but I just don't like it.
There's
so
two things. There's
I'm
two
curious
things.
To see yeah. in the chat if y'all like Noah what and Janelle like. Or not. Most people don't, but.
Okay. I'll give you two things. One point that you actually brought up, and I wanted to bring up, but you kind of made the segue mm-hmm. about the whole situation, because we do see that, especially we've seen ongoing, and we even see it come up again, about his family being very black militant,
yeah.
And his dad especially, and how he feels about certain things, and how, like he was saying, grow up, and he had his birthday with mm-hmm. the Malcolm X, you know, napkins and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And he's like, I had these revolutionary parents. And I think that it's an important, you know, situation in what we see like this. And one of the things is when we do see, when you brought up Noah being this, the great white hope,
yeah.
per se, like, I'm gonna be the savior.
Yeah.
We have seen this play out in a lot of movies and a lot of storylines. And some people are very bothered by it, me included. I did not see it as that, only because, I mean, Noah's already a staple in the show.
Right.
So I did not see it. I don't see it personally as that. I can see why people would. Mm-hmm. I don't personally see it that way. But I will say, that I think it's important that it is explored, because I think that showing culture and showing, you know, because we haven't really seen that in this show yet. Mm-hmm. So I think that it is cool that the writers have brought, you know, Sonali Lathan in, her character,
yeah.
strong black female character, asserting herself, seeing this family, you know, and him making these decisions as a family. But mm-hmm. then even though there's messed up, you know, because they're divorced and they don't see eye to eye, which is common in any family. But I think it's important to see that. Going on the second point, why I like the relationship is because Janelle is in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen in previous, you know, Noah kind of taking advantage,
yeah,
right?
Very
using
much so.
His wiles, or using his looks, or
which
using
have gotten me a few times, I will say. But.
Using his like his position, you yeah. know, to get women. You
yeah.
know, and that's kind of been his MO, you know, what we've seen. And we saw it from jump day one with mm-hmm. Allison. And so I feel like with this, Janelle is in the driver's seat. Janelle's the one that showed up at the house. Mm-hmm. Janelle is the one that's, you know, kind of putting these things in motion. She knew what she was doing. And yeah. it's like she's making the conscious effort to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's also interesting because he is taking that role with Anton as a mentor, you know, type situation. I think it works because with them have something going on, it brings more to that situation than just this, you know, oh, okay, I'm your teacher and I'm just gonna, he has more purpose
right.
behind what he's doing because he has a lot of students,
right.
you know, but he's choosing Anton, but obviously it gives him more of a reason to then go and do that.
Well, I think Anton is basically like the son he's never had in the sense of yeah. this, you know, he's into the same things. Mm-hmm. He's reading his book. He comes to yes. him for help, which I think is what Noah has ultimately always wanted. Now, obviously, he's messed up beyond belief.
Sure.
But we see him in the times where his kids have come to him is when he kind of excels, is when he really, you know, seems to go above and beyond for them. So I think Anton coming to him specifically in this situation and then, you know, them being on the plane and him being able to offer to take him to Princeton, mm-hmm. it's like he is giving his own talents. It's like he's passing something on,
yeah.
which is what he's always wanted to do. It's why he loves being a teacher so mm-hmm. much. So I really like the relationship between Anton and Noah because Anton has seemingly turned a corner from, you know, what we saw at the beginning
absolutely.
Of the season.
Big time.
Now he's, you know, a kid wanting to do the right thing. And granted, I think going into the military is crazy mm-hmm. for him. Not that it's not crazy, but just for Anton.
For him.
Absolutely the best situation is to go to Princeton.
Sure.
But I like that they're kind of showing him do that. Now, do I think he maybe oversteps his bounds in that scenario? Like in the scenario where they're in the house where Carl walks in and uh-huh. he's like, you know, he came, this is your son, I understand, but he came to me. Right. So I would love if we could all sit down and talk about this. I was yeah. like, oh, that was not a good move.
Nah, bruh.
But, I mean, actually, you know, it worked. Now, did they sit down and talk about it? No, but right. he was able to kind of wedge in and be like, why don't we at least let him go see it? And, you know, it's tough. Obviously, it's really tough for Anton to do this because he thinks his dad is going to be so disappointed. But I'm like, your dad will get over it mm-hmm. if he has some under. And also, don't live your life because of what your parents think.
Right.
So if he has some underlying whatever, he'll get over it. And also, if you end up going to the military, they're going to end up respecting you for it, even if you know, it's going to be bad at first.
Sure.
But I like that scenario. But the Janelle and Noah is just, someone even said in the chat and takes the words right out of my mouth. He's literally just like, meh. That situation is just meh to me. And I know it's there for them to grow sure. Noah and for him to be in a different place and for us to see a change in his character, because I don't think he's going to be end up being with Allison or end up being with Helen. Mm-hmm. So they need to give him something. But I think that's all this is going to be. It's like a segue into the new Noah.
Hmm.
And I actually think it's Janelle that's going to be teaching him stuff. It's not the other way around. I think she's teaching him a whole lot.
And I agree with that. That's why I was saying initially about this is on her terms.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why I said I like it, because it is something to teach Noah. Noah, he needs to reprise himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he's doing that with coming to California. Even though he did it under the pretense of for his children, I feel like he's getting a lot more than he anticipated and bargained for. And dealing with Anton and the whole family situation. And going back to that, with Carl, mm-hmm. the whole reason why it's a problem is because Carl, the whole reason he doesn't want him to go, and mm-hmm. we find out, you know, before, is that he doesn't, because Carl was a failure in
right.
that. And so he has an issue with him doing that because it was something he failed at. And mm-hmm. Anton is like, yo, you doing it under the wrong pretense. It's
right.
not like he doesn't respect his dad as a father. It's not like Noah's trying to take the role of his father,
mm-hmm.
but his father is being, in so many words, selfish.
Sure.
Because he's like, no, I don't want you to go because I couldn't do it. And he's constantly saying, like, I can't do that.
Which is just the craziest thing ever.
It is.
If I wasn't able to go somewhere and
right.
my kid was, I'd be like, hell yeah,
exactly.
go. Especially it's Princeton.
Right.
So it's an interesting situation between the two of them. But ultimately, I think Anton, you know, like I said, he's made this turn. So I think he's going to end up doing the right thing. Yes. But it is, you know, just how you said, like, now, or we're both saying, you know, Noah's being this essentially like a father figure or a mentor or whatever to Anton. But we also see him. He hasn't fully changed, say, to Janelle, like, I'm not doing this for him. Yeah. And I'm like, oh,
but that's
my
Noah, though. You gotta, still got to be yourself.
Right, exactly. Still be they yourself. Can't just, like, turn it all around on this right on, there. She's on, like, well, why are you doing it then? I'm doing it for you, baby.
Noah!
And then they, you know, get their freak out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It happens.
I don't know. I'm happy about the situation. But then I'm like, is it all going to be ruined? Right. Because they're at the airport, and who does Noah have calling him over and over?
Well, we're going to touch on that in a second. But you have special segment / news and gossip.
I sure do. I have both tonight for y'all.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Boom.
Ooh. I'm going to do our special segment, Ask and Answer. This is where every week y'all either on Twitter, Instagram, in the comments, on YouTube, iTunes, whatever, ask us a question and we answer it. The one I wanted to pick out this time is from Candy A. What up, girl? She says, curious to know, she's asking about Helen's pregnancy test. Curious to know what your predictions for that are. Will Sierra sleep with Vic in the tent and get pregnant? Now, obviously, this is because a lot of people thought that Vic was going to be there as well. We saw, people saw maybe in the preview that it seemed like Vic was there, or that it was going to be a situation where the two of them were, or the three of them were, I should say. But ultimately, what I want to know is, do you think Sierra is going to be pregnant?
I'm going to say no.
I am going to go with you and say that I think she's not pregnant either. Okay. It's just, like, too much.
Sure.
Let us know in the chat what y'all think as well.
Yeah.
Also, do have some breaking news and gossip. Confirmed just a few days ago, The Affair is picked up for a fifth season.
Hey!
Ow. But it will be the fifth and final season.
Oh.
It is the writer's, the creator's choice. It's not, it's a hit, obviously, still on Showtime.
Right.
But originally, Sarah Treem was planning for this to be a much, I think just a couple seasons, I can't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. But then it evolved and the characters evolved. So I read an article earlier in the year that said she thought the fifth season should be the last one. But they decided officially the fifth season is going to be the last one. So we have a little time to wrap up a whole lot of stuff.
Dope.
And that means only one more year for us. Oh my gosh.
I'm going to take it. Oh, my heart.
Right? I don't know what I'm more upset about.
I know. All right, let's get into predictions. Let's do it.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, so...
I'm like, you go first.
What we didn't mention, I mean, we kind of touched on it, but... Yeah. Obviously, Noah went with with Anton, and over going to Princeton, they had a delay in their flight, ended up the flights couldn't catch another flight. And so we find out that Cole basically left Noah all these messages. So because they can't catch their flight until the next evening, he basically calls Cole, and we find out, you know, there's something going on, and he mentions Allison's name. So then we see Cole arrive. And then basically, you know.
Also, how far is New York from Chicago? Let me just ask. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, it's a way. He had a drive.
Yeah.
So he comes and picks them up. And so we've been teased about this basically on the first few episodes about them all in the car together and talking about Allison and you know, they give us a little few minutes before each episode. And then all of a sudden we didn't. So we knew at some point we were going to come to this point. And this is the pinnacle. This is how they all came together. So my question to you is, as far as predictions, what do you think is going to happen from this point forward?
I don't know. I think that I'm going to go with my girl, Nadine. I think that somehow Ben is involved. I read something interesting. I wish I remember who said it. I'll look it up during the week and shout it out next week. But I read something interesting about the dad being involved in some way. Maybe it could be she's disappeared to give him, does he need a kidney?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
Maybe she could have disappeared because that's what she's doing. You know, in the preview, we do see Noah and Cole eating dinner with him. But I also, I think it could be something shadier than that, because we have seen her disappear before. Mm-hmm. I'm fully, because everyone's like, oh, she's disappeared before. It could just be her doing that again. No, I don't think that she would even slightly do that with Joanie at this age, especially. Sure. I just think there's some foul play involved in some way.
Okay.
But I don't know. What do you think?
I know a lot of talk was with Ben being involved, because we saw that their situation. Now that we have know that, you know, she has this dad that, mm-hmm. you know, wants this kidney. To be honest, I still think Ben is the one that's involved with the disappearance. Mm-hmm. I don't think the dad is. And I know that we see in the previews for next episode that the dad is, you know, they're talking about him. But I really think it's still something to do with Ben. I think somehow there's some way. There's some effect with that, but, you know, we'll have to see.
But are we going to, like, give him that much fruit? You know what I mean? Are we going to give him that, like, you're a part of the show for the rest of the show.
Pretty much.
So is that going to be the case?
I just don't. I mean, the whole thing with the dad, I just can't see it being the dad, because I can't
think
see.
He would have, like, killed her for
right,
a
right,
kidney.
Right. But
no.
I just don't see him being a part of her disappearance. That's why I wouldn't say the dad.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going with Ben.
I do want to say, too, though, everyone in the comments last week was super split on whether Athena was lying about it or if he was lying about it, mainly because of the drowning thing, her mom not remembering it whatsoever. Someone commented that she might not have remembered because, you know, she was you know, being greeted by the man who raped her. I have a hard time thinking that you wouldn't remember your child almost drowning, even in the case, like if there had to be, you know, I'm guessing there had to be CPR or whatever.
Right.
But it was pretty split. So, I don't even know where I land on it. I just know that we see Noah tell Cole in the car that he'll always love Allison, but that was gone a long time ago. So the last bit of hope that I had in my heart is now done. I'm fully team Cole and Allison. Okay.
Hey.
It only took me 4 seasons,
right.
But I'm there.
On that note, that's been our show. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, everyone in the live chat. Thank you so much for giving feedback. Make sure you continue the conversation in the comments and subscribe. Remember, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We got so much going on at AfterBuzz, and we want you to be a part. I've been your host, Lynn Gonzalez. And as always, 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 you can find me at The Poet Saint. That's The Poet Saint. And you can check out my website, see what I got going on at stayonthemic.com. April Wizenhat, the amazing. What's going on?
Y'all can find me everywhere at April Wizenhat. I am always communicating with y'all in the comment section, as we all are, of course. So please let us know what you thought, because we'd love to shout y'all out next week. And thank y'all so much for tuning in.
Yeah. Until next week, we'll see you.
Bye. Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.